Okay, I'm going to start a translation. Pastor's message, Daniel chapter 10, verse 15 through 20. Daniel heard that 50,000 of Pharaoh's have returned to Jerusalem after 70 years, and they are in dire straits. Daniel doing fasting prayers for 21 days. As the people of worship first returning, Israelites started to work on rebuilding a temple. First of all, worship is the foundation of their whole life and the reason Israelites are God's people and their identity. And they rebuild a temple as a place to worship. Exactly, rebuilding a temple was the biggest purpose to return to Jerusalem. And however, when the temple's foundation was laid, the full-scale sabotage had begun, and work on building the temple stalled for 16 years. Like the Samaritans, the people of the land were uncomfortable with the fact that the returning Israelites were restoring their homeland and building the temple, which was a symbol of their restoration, and they began to sabotage the Israelites' project, even using force. Above all, the most significant feature of their sabotage was their lobbying of powerful people of the Persian Empire. Let's read the Book of Ezra again. Then the people around them, sorry, I'm going to read Book of Ezra, chapter 4, verse 4. Then the people around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. They bribed officials to work against them and frustrate their plans. During the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, and down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia. At the beginning of the reign of Xerxes, they lodged an accusation against the people of Judah and Jerusalem. And in the days of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Bishlam, Mithridates, Tabeel and the rest of his associates wrote a letter to Artaxerxes. The letter was written in Aramaic script and in the Aramaic language. Rehum, the commanding officer, and Shimshai, the secretary, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes the king as follows. Rehum, the commanding officer, and Shimshai, the secretary, together with the rest of their associates, the judges, officials, and administrators over the people from Perugia, Iraq, and Babylon, the Elamites of Susa, and the other people whom the great and honorable Ashpenaz deported and settled in the city of Samaria and elsewhere in Trans-Euphrates to King Artaxerxes from your servants in Trans-Euphrates. The king should know that people who came up to us from you have gone to Jerusalem and are rebuilding that rebellious and wicked city. They are restoring the wall and repairing the foundations. Furthermore, the king should know that if this city is built and its walls are restored, no more taxes, tribute, or duty will be paid, and eventually the royal revenues will suffer. Now, since we are under obligation to the place and it is not proper for us to see the king dishonored, we are sending this message to inform the king, so that a search may be made in the archives of your predecessors. In these records, you will find that this city is a rebellious city, troublesome to kings, and the province a place with a long history of sedition. That is why this city was destroyed. We inform the king that if this city is built and its walls are restored, you will be left with nothing in Trans-Euphrates. To Rehum, the commanding officer, Shimshai, the secretary, and the rest of their associates living in Samaria and elsewhere in Trans-Euphrates, greetings. The letter you sent us has been translated in my presence. I issued an order and search was made, and it was found that this city has a long history of revolt against kings and has been a place of rebellion, sedition. Jerusalem has had powerful kings ruling over the whole Trans-Euphrates, and taxes, tribute, and duty were paid to them. Now issue an order to these men to stop work, so that this city will not be rebuilt until so order. Be careful not to neglect this matter. Why let this threat grow to the detriment of the royal interest? As soon as the copy of the letter of King Artaxerxes was read to Rehum and Shimshai, the secretary, and their associates, they went immediately to the Jews in Jerusalem and compelled them by force to stop. Thus the works on the house of God in Jerusalem came to stand still until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Samaritans robbing of the powerful people of the Persian Empire worked and rebuilding the temple. The core of restoring Jerusalem was forced to stop. Returning 50,000 of people were forced to live a life of bitterness for 16 years. 16 years, which is a simple word, but long, long time. I had worked as a young director for 11 years from 2004. Then after 3 years of blank, and I returned 2.5 years ago, total around 16 years more and more have passed. It was long, long time. It's been such a long time that I wonder if it's only been 16 years. It has been such a long and dense 16 years that I feel that 1 week is comparable to a few months when I was a university student. The Israelites spent 16 long years in situations where they were deprived of their very identity as the Israelites, their very reason for being. When they decided to return to their hometown Jerusalem, they were certainly anxious, but more than that, they were filled with expectation and hope. But then they told to themselves, "Don't worry, we've come this far with support of Daniel's prayer and God's guidance and protection. Let's work together and believe in God who helped us." And with that, they worked together with Zerubbabel and Joshua, the leaders who had returned with them to rebuild the temple. As a result, they finally laid the foundation of a temple, and they were filled with joy and offered praise to the Lord God with great joy. Book of Ezra, chapter 3, verse 10 through 11. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, "He is good, his love toward Israel endures forever." And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. The temple may be small compared to the splendid temple of Solomon's time, but when they looked at the foundation that they had laid with all the strength and wealth they could muster, they thought, "After all, what we were trying to do was guided by the Lord, is guided by the Lord, and is in accordance with the Lord's will. We have taken a major first step in restoring our identity as a people of worship." All the 50,000 people were overjoyed and praised the Lord God. However, as the relentless sabotage began, the situation continued to go against their will. Their faith was broken, their identity as a people of worship was shaken, and being in a long dark tunnel became their daily routine, and they spent 16 years without hope, forgetting that they were even in tunnel. When Daniel heard the news that his fellow countrymen were suffering from sabotage, he was heartbroken, and despite his advanced age of 90, he entered into once in a lifetime prayer of fasting. And here's one thing we need to know. It is a fact of life that when a people of worship try to live as a people of worship, there are always obstacles in their way. This is what Daniel experienced, and this is what the Israelites are experienced. It is one of the most striking spiritual characteristics of this world that in every age, in every country, and under every circumstance, there are obstacles to worshipping people's attempt to live as a worshipping people. Daniel chapter 10 tells us that there are people to prevent people from worshipping the one true God at any cost, to prevent using economic, social, political, educational, health, self-improvement, ideological, and all kinds of relationship-building activities. The Bible teaches about the kingdom of God, but the main body of the kingdom is worshiping God. The book of Revelation describes the kingdom of heaven, and in the middle of it is the worship of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and all creation, including human beings, who are filled with the unclouded fullness of God the Holy Spirit. In other words, the most striking feature of the kingdom of God is that every realm is worship. The Apostle Paul in his letter says that worship is to be restored to all areas of our lives, and that it is a sign and seal that we have become the people of God. At the same time, he also tells us that The act of restoring worship is our greatest spiritual battleground, and that we must stay out of tune with the world. Let's read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer you bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Only worshiping God can give us the spiritual insight to discern what is pleasing to God, what is good, what is perfect, and what is God's will. Therefore, ungodly people will do everything in their power to hinder worship. That is why Apostle Paul teaches that worship is not just a limited time and space where we gather in one place to pray, praise, hear the word, give our goods, and praise, but all of our areas are worship. In short, what this world has lost in worship. The world has lost worship. The world teaches that not to worship the one true God is common sense. Not to worship one true God is profit. Not to worship the one true God is freedom. Not to worship one true God is rational. Not to worship the one true God is religious. Not to worship the one true God is scientific. And not to worship the one true God is what makes a person human. The world teaches like that. And then there are those who lead and make it seem as if they are in control of the world, even though they cannot control it. The people who are responsible for this are the Satans and demons, who are referred to as the Prince of the Persian nation or princes of the Greek nations in Daniel chapter 10. Through his fasting prayer, Daniel was clearly taught that the forces that do everything in their power to block the place of worship are not based on people, but on Satan and demons who use people as tools. Daniel had tried to embody worship in every area of his life up to this point, but he had been thwarted at every turn. And always, people were the visible instruments of the obstructions. He knew who were orchestrating and manipulating the obstructions using the people. But this time, they were clearly visible through this response to prayer. In the New Testament, Apostle Paul tells us that our walk is a walk in the flesh, but it is not a battle following the flesh, but a walk for God, overthrowing the strongholds of men. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapon of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Overthrowing Satan's strongholds for God is our true battle, and that the weapon of warfare is not money, bomb, political power, qualification, or ability to live life well, but worship of God. Indeed, Paul knew, and Daniel knew. Let's back to Daniel chapter 10. Every obstruction to Israelites are spiritual attack to prevent worship God. Daniel chapter 10, verse 20. So he said, "Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and I go, the prince of Greece will come." When the angel Gabriel comes to Daniel to deliver the answer to his prayer, he says that his purpose is not only to deliver the answer to his prayer to Daniel, but also to fight against the rulers of the Persian nation. In other words, he says that the actions of the powers of the Persian Empire, who had ordered the rebuilding of the temple to be stopped, were the work of Satan and his demons, who were using human beings as tools to prevent rebuilding of the temple, where they were doing their best to offer their worship. In answer to Daniel's prayer, the angel Gabriel says, "Leave it to me to actually go to war against the demons who call themselves the prince of Persian nation." And as a result, Book of Israel, chapter 6, verse 6 through 16. Book of Israel, chapter 6. Now then, Tatnai, governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shetal-Bozenai, and you other officials of that province, stay away from there. Do not interfere with the work on this temple of God. Let the governor of the Jews and the Jewish elders rebuild this house of God on its site. Moreover, I hereby decree what you were to do for these elders of the Jews in construction of this house of God. Their expense be fully paid out of the royal treasury from revenues of Trans-Euphrates, so that the work will not stop. Whatever is needed, young bulls, rams, male lamb, for burnt offering to the God of heaven, and wheat, salt, wine, and olive oil, as requested by the priest in Jerusalem, must be given them daily without fail, so that they may offer sacrifices pleasing to God of heaven, and pray for well-being of king and his sons. Furthermore, I decree that if anyone defies this edict, a beam is to be pulled from their house, and they are to be impaled on it. And for this crime, their house is to be made a pile of rubble. May God, who has caused his name to dwell there, overthrow any king or people who lifts a hand to change this decree or to destroy this temple in Jerusalem. I, Darius, have decreed it. Let it be carried out with diligence. Then, because of the decree King Darius had sent Tatnai, governor of Trans-Euphrates and Shethar-Boznai, and their associates carried it out of diligence. So the elders of the Jews continued to build up, prosper under the preaching of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, a descendant of Iddo. They finished building the temple according to command of God Israel and decrees of Cyrus Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. The temple was completed on third day of the month Adar, in sixth year of reign of King Darius. The battle between angel Gabriel and the king of Persia was successfully won by angel Gabriel in the form of completion of the temple, even involving the king of the time. More specifically, the battle of heavenly angels and the very nature of things worshipping God the Father cannot be defeated by the demons who rebelled against God and became fallen angels. There is always the promise of victory. This is because everything has already been won through the atonement the Lord Jesus Christ. However, for those of us who live in the flesh, in this visible world, it may take as long as 16 years, a long time that requires patience. This is because God teaches us to pray, teaches us His word, teaches us patience, and through bitter experience, develops our spiritual insight to discern what is pleasing to God, what is good, what is perfect, and what is according to His will, in order to transform us into true worshipper. If you look at Daniel chapter 10, we see the same things repeated twice. Daniel clasps and faints before the presence and overwhelming majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ, and immediately after that, he is encouraged and strengthened by the angel Gabriel. First time is Daniel chapter 10, verse 4, and second is Daniel chapter 10, verse 15 through 19. So let's read Daniel chapter 10, verse 15 through 19. While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid. You who are highly esteemed, he said, peace, be strong now, be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my lord, since you have given me strength. Daniel had lost all his strength before the overwhelming presence of the Lord Jesus. He was told by the angel Gabriel, "Oh, you who are specially loved, do not be afraid. Be at ease. Be strong. Be strong." He was inspired. Our Christian walk with the Lord Jesus is indeed noble and exalted walk that cannot be compared with anything in this world. But there are times when we fall down and say, I can't do this anymore. All our sins have been forgiven, but because we are still sinners, it can seem like a burden to have Jesus with us and we fall down. But he always sends an angel like Gabriel to encourage us. Don't worry, you are loved. He will encourage us and eventually make us grow to the stature of Christ and complete us. This is the life of the Lord Jesus. Walking with the Lord Jesus is a hard road that will make you faint, but it is a uniquely noble, lofty, magnificent, and majestic road. No matter how hard it is, there is no wavering from this fact. That is why Jesus said this with such conviction. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" The path we walk with the Lord Jesus is a path of carrying the cross, a path that something makes us faint, but it is a path of glory, just like the path the Lord Jesus himself walked. It is a path where there is true life, true good, and true eternity. The returning Israelites and Daniel had to bear the heavy cross of sabotage in order to follow the Lord Jesus. But there was victory and glory there. But there was victory and glory, and above all, there was the encouragement of the Lord Jesus and his heavenly angels. Our walk is littered with obstacles that at first glance we don't understand or understand the reason for. However, in the fullness of time, the Lord always gives us help and opens the way for us. For me, I felt last week was full of obstructions. On Tuesday morning, while I was taking a shower to get ready for work, I had another hiccup and couldn't stand up. There were a pile of things to do. I had to prepare this message from these difficult verses of the Bible. Honestly speaking, I was panicked. I was so panicked. I would bother church staff. My wife would be depressed if I was lying around the house. I was not even breathing. I felt my body and my mind were at their limits at that time. I vented my anger on my wife and children. It was a little terrible. But anyway, I got up early morning, opened Bible, prepared for the message. I was depressed still, but I could think like that. This is one of obstructions. It must be like running out of strength and not being able to breathe in front of Lord Jesus, and at the same time still being ready to preach. I wonder if the angel Gabriel is encouraging me not to be afraid, to be peace, to be strong, and I stand here. I can stand here now. The Lord Jesus himself came to earth in a human body, and when he was about to walk the path, the cross, he experienced so much pain that he lost consciousness. And at that time, an angel came and encouraged Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 22, verse 41. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like a drop of blood falling to the ground. Jesus also experienced unspeakable suffering and an all-out assault by demons, so much so that he was dropping with a sweat like drop of blood. But the angel came and strengthened him. We are in process of transforming every area of our lives into worship, and there will be persistent sabotage, persistent temptation, and persistent attack, but each moment the Lord will send his angel to encourage and strengthen us. We experience such things. When this service is over and we stepped out, there may be attacks that try to trip us up again, but it's okay to trust that it's just a process and that there will be hope. God will answer our prayers and worship, shaking the world above. So let's be humble, still believe, still pray, and still let the whole area of our lives be sublimated into worship. For this, the Lord will help us and the Lord will do it. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, through Daniel and the Israelites' experience, you teach us spiritual insight. Please let us not think the world is everything, and not to give up because of obstructions, and let us walk with you. Thank you, you are with us. Please walk with us forever. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.